Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, April 10th, 2017. I am Jason Powell. Coming up after the break for non-members, I will be joined by Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com for not one, not two, but 3 days of coverage of the WWE Superstar Shakeup. The WWE Superstar Shakeup begins on tonight's WWE Raw. You can join me for live coverage at ProWrestling.net as the show airs. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, 3 days of coverage is the plan. If all goes well, Brian and I, our schedules will mesh, and he will be joining me Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Brian, 3 days of ProWrestling.net All Access Daily. How does that make you feel?
Oh, man, like a warm bowl of soup on a cold day.
Yeah, there's only so many ways. Brian probably had more creative ways of saying it earlier. We have tried. This is our third time trying this audio update, so... you won't know it. We apologize if the sound quality is a little bit down from usual. We did try our usual method, and it just wasn't working. So we gave in, and we're going old school. But it should be fine. Once I do the tweaking and all that, hopefully it'll sound good. But let's talk about this shakeup, Brian, because we've learned it's not a draft. It's not a draft lottery. It is, according to the WWE website, quote, the reps have the ability to make trades, deals, and other moves to bolster their respective rosters. So we know there's going to be some trades. What else are we getting?
Well, I want to know what the difference is between a trade and deal. I guess maybe that's just for, you know, whatever is lying around or something. I don't know. I think we expect to get a couple of call-ups. The question there, though, is exactly who and how do they do it from a standpoint. Do they do it differently than what they did at draft and say these, you know, certain NXT talents are off limits or not? Because otherwise it's going to look quite dumb if Bobby Roode does not get called up, but yet the Drifter is the newest member of either Raw or SmackDown.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, last year it was odd. They had a pre-show they were doing, and they talked about Nakamura as one of their top potential picks, and draft went by, no Nakamura. Well, this year... In a way, it's even odder to me that here you have guys in Almas and the Drifter, not exactly known for winning a lot of high-profile matches in NXT. So not just Roode, you have to bypass a lot of people. Is there any chance that NXT could be included in this, where William Regal swings a trade, and at least that way they're explaining that this was just a trade that was made? It's not Kurt Angle thought the Drifter was the best person to add from NXT.
Actually, I think that could be done, and I think that would be a smart thing to do, actually. The question then is going to be, for that talent, how ticked are they going to be if they're not making the same amount of money from being on the WWE roster? But, I mean, if everything works out behind the scenes from that standpoint, I think it would be smart to make a deal like that, just to kind of repackage for somebody and let them, you know, go down to NXT and do some good work, and you never know when they might be back up on either Raw or SmackDown.
What if it's, we'll send you the Drifter in exchange for cash, a move that my now 5-1 Minnesota Twins have been known to make over the years, trading players for cash?
Well, it depends on whose deep pockets are we talking about here. I mean, does Kurt Angle have the authorization to spend Stephanie McMahon's or Vince McMahon's money?
Well, and
how does that, it's all the same company, so how are you spending money back and forth?
Well, and I'm only half joking, but I do wonder if they would get calls like from their investors going, "Well, how much was the cash, and where does that go?" And yeah, I don't think we'll see any cash moves made. But in all seriousness, those are the names that have been rumored. The most heavily rumored are the Drifter and Andrade Cien Almas, and I like the Almas move. There's been speculation that could he be cruiserweight bound, and Brian, is he too big for the cruiserweight division? I asked Zach Zimmerman that question. And it was kind of, you know, it's like not necessarily, but he didn't think he was going there either.
I think he is too big for the cruiserweight division. He's like right on the cusp. I mean, I'm not saying that they need to break out the scale again, but I wouldn't do that with him. I mean, if you're going to call him up, I would make him, you know, just one of the regular players, you know. And, you know, they're dying for Hispanic stars on both Raw and SmackDown. You know, so he would seem to be a good fit. I know it's kind of jumping him up pretty quickly here, but it's a guy that had a lot of experience before when he was in Mexico, but, you know, he was wearing a mask. It's been a little bit of a tough transition for him, but, you know, now that he is, you know, kind of getting his legs out, you know, under him in NXT, and obviously he's not wearing the mask anymore. You can see that he's gotten a lot better, especially over the last couple of months. And they just kind of feel like, hey, we want to jump him up, you know. So it makes sense from that standpoint. I know it's like, okay, he's been on some takeovers, but he hasn't had like a super high-profile match. He hasn't been in a championship spot. But, you know, you could say that about some other talents that they've had as well, and it's worked out, especially like in the case of Alexa Bliss.
Very true. Now, if they, here's the thing, if nobody can figure out, Art, if they were to send somebody back down to NXT, how would that work? Would they just take a massive pay cut to go backwards, and would the talent be upset? Now, I mean, that's one way of doing it, but Brian, you can't tell me Shinsuke Nakamura was making NXT base pay. I don't think Drew Galloway is making NXT base pay. If it's a low-end guy, they may just say, well, take the assignment or leave it. If they wanted to move down somebody who'd been on the roster for a while, someone who had some tenure, so to speak, they could give the, you know, they could maybe sell this to them, like, hey, we're going to make sure you're taken care of financially, but we think you would benefit from some time away from the main roster, and also help prop up NXT in the process and pay them a little more money. It doesn't seem that complicated to me.
I don't think so either. I think that's the right way to do it, as long as the, you know, they're not losing any money by going down there. Maybe they won't make as much as they could have, like, for, you know, certain dates and different things. But as long as it's not a huge difference, you're getting your base, you're getting paid for different dates. And, you know, like you said, it can really help out. You know, it could help the talent. It could help out NXT as a brand. So, you know, they're pushing right now that NXT is not developmental. I mean, I can tell you for a fact, WWE does not want the D word used. They want you to describe NXT as a third touring global brand. And if that is the case, and they want to try to make it a little bit more on the same plane as Raw and SmackDown, then something like this would make sense to utilize some of those talents that have been on the main roster and put them in NXT.
I'd like to see it. I mean, they can call it what they want, but it looks like developmental. You know, I mean, in most cases, yeah, you have a champion down there who's going to be 40. You have Drew Galloway down there who doesn't need to be there. There's always going to be examples of guys who are there to kind of prop the thing up. But at its core, it's developmental. But it is one way. If you want to try to send the messages more than that, well, include them in this. But, Brian, I mean, my guess would be if they were going to include NXT in some way, they'd be telling us that today.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, I mean, we didn't really hear too much when it came to, you know, what they did in the draft until the last minute, I think.
True.
Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I thought it was like a last-minute thing, and next thing you know, oh, we're going to call up some talent from NXT. So it might just be one of those things where they still mention it. But, I mean, they have to if they at least call two people up.
Give me a head count. How many people do you think are going to be moved from Raw to SmackDown? We'll leave NXT out because my guess is they're not going to. They'll call some people up, but I don't know that you're going to see, like, William Regal on the show, for instance, and three podiums or anything like that. I don't know how, if they'll even have a podium, but we'll just kind of stick to Raw and SmackDown moving forward. How many guys and girls do you think are going to move brands?
We don't count NXT. I would say probably 8 to 10 would shift between the two.
And do you expect big names, or is this going to be more of kind of a mid-card shakeup, maybe one or two big names?
That's what I would think. Like, you know, I said this to you recently, and this has been out there now. You know, I think Charlotte and Alexa Bliss, those would be the biggest women that would probably change brands. When it comes to men, I don't know. I mean, that's the tough thing, because I know there's been a lot of talk about, you know, AJ Styles changing. If they did that, who comes back? Because I don't think Roman Reigns is moving. Maybe if Finn Balor is the guy, and I think that would really benefit SmackDown to get Finn. I think that would make a lot of sense to do that, because he could be kind of the guy that doesn't even have a storyline right now, from the standpoint of if Jericho hangs around and does the next Raw pay-per-view, you still got Jericho and Owens. And I know Balor was in that tag team match for his return, but you could do that. You still have, you know, Rollins is still, you know, in the mix, you know, with what he's going to be doing. So Balor's kind of the odd man out still, and I would throw him over to SmackDown.
Yeah, the thing to look for when they head into something like this, and it's not a gimme that things are going to happen, because, you know, Vince can change his mind at the last minute. But what I look for whenever there's a draft or a lottery or anything like that, or what we're seeing tonight, is how talent was treated heading into it. Who's in the middle of a long program, things like that.
Yeah.
You mentioned Charlotte, a couple of losses. Alexa Bliss, a couple of losses. Charlotte, I mean, she could be turning babyface based on the way she was attacked last week, but my guess is that they do intend to move her, or at least they did at the time that they did the angle, they intend to move her to SmackDown. The other thing, I guess some of the tag teams, I wouldn't be surprised if you see some tag team shake up a little bit. What I've said I'd like to see from the SmackDown side, they have a lot of tag teams that they just feel the need to use, and that's why we see these kickoff show openers with, you know, 12-man tag team matches and things. SmackDown doesn't need that many tag teams. What they do need, though, is some mid-level depth. I'd like to see them get, it doesn't even have to be true mid-carders, but guys that they think, hey, you're not doing anything with this guy. We can use him on our mid-card. Because you look, you know, when people start talking about who's next for the Intercontinental Champion, it's like a 3-4 names because there really aren't that many to choose from. I think they need some singles depth on SmackDown.
Yeah, they do. I mean, and I think the guy that you have to point to that makes the most sense would be Sami Zayn. To throw him over there, and he would have a really big role on SmackDown. You know, there's been so many different rumors about different talent. Like, you know, Sasha Banks' name has been out there, and I'm like, to me, that makes no sense because they're kind of in the middle of building this Sasha Bailey match that I think makes a lot of sense for SummerSlam. Whether it's Sasha or whether it's Nia Jax, probably one of them has to move as well for the women. For the guys, I mean, like I said, Sami Zayn makes a lot of sense. I'm not sure exactly who else, though. That's what I'm trying to figure out. And, like, who else would they move? Like, could we see something of, okay, the single talent gets moved for a tag team? Something along those lines. Because I think that would be kind of something interesting because I think that something like that could actually happen. It would make a lot of sense if it's the right people involved.
I'll just throw some names at you. Do you think New Day move?
I know there's been a lot of talk saying yes, but I say no, because I think they should stay right where they're at. They just started with this, you know, storyline with the Revival. And I like that storyline because, okay, now they've had an explanation why Kofi needed surgery because they took him out last week. But I like this whole old school versus new school kind of feud with the Revival, you know, taking on the New Day. You know, one's entertainment, one's old school wrestling tag team. So to me, that makes a lot of sense to keep that together. I would not break that up.
New Day, I don't have a strong feeling on. I just look at Raw as the show that needs a lot of filler, and SmackDown is a more wrestling-heavy show, typically. Doesn't mean they don't have their share of talking segments, too. It's just, now at the same time, New Day's act feels cold. It feels like it's kind of run its course. But I'm kind of with you. I could see them staying on Raw. You mentioned Roman Reigns already. Why do you think he's staying put on Raw?
I just think everything that they got planned for him is right there on Raw. I think next for him is Braun Strowman. You know, sooner or later, it's going to be him and Brock Lesnar, whether that's at SummerSlam or even later on down the line. So it feels like Roman is a guy that should stay put.
AJ Styles.
That's the one that I'm not exactly sure of. I think wherever they put him, he's going to be with Anderson and Gallows again. Which I want to see. I want to see the club back together.
Does that make him a heel, though?
I think it does. And he probably should stay a heel, you know, for a little while longer, especially those guys around, because that's going to, as much as people love to cheer for him, and they still will, but having those two guys with him, I think, is going to help him get some heat. So that would be something that, I'd want to put them back together. The interesting thing with that is if we really wanted to call back things like, could those three guys be on the same brand as Finn Balor? Like, if Balor stayed on Raw and Anderson and Gallows stayed and then AJ got moved there, then, you know, would you do anything with all four of them? I'd say probably not from a standpoint of, like, the whole faction, but you could easily do something where maybe AJ went against Finn. I'd like to see at least the club get back together.
My argument for keeping AJ on SmackDown is you can do it either way. The scenario you're mentioning where you moved Anderson and Gallows over, and that scenario, his speech last week about wanting to stay put and feeling like he's the face of the brand and all that, well, he was baby-facing Shane McMahon, and now he's going to be worse than ever. He's got his buddies with him, and they're going to run wild, and you have that guy Shinsuke there. to counter them, which would be a lot of fun, and whoever they end up bringing over from Raw. On the flip side, if he goes to Raw, I guess the tricky part then is that does Shane look like the bad guy? I even had a reader ask me in Q&A today if there's a chance Shane is turning heel because of this. And my short answer was basically, doesn't have to, it could be. I don't think it is, but it could be as simple as, hey, they made us a deal we couldn't refuse, and that's why we sent AJ there. But I actually hope he stays put. I mean, I could see him being the babyface, a guy that leads the brand along with Shinsuke, and saving, you know, building to an eventual match between those two somewhere down the road. But I could see him end up on Raw. There's been so many rumors about it. I don't have a strong feeling about that one. What I mean, I know you're kind of up in the air too. What does your gut tell you? Where's AJ by the end of this?
I think by the end of it, just have a feeling he's going to end up on Raw. But I agree. I like him on SmackDown, but I just have this feeling that he's going to be over on Raw. Someone else pretty big is going to end up moving back over to SmackDown. I will say this. One of the guys I would like to see move probably be The Miz. I think they act the Miz and Maurice over on Raw. I think that would be...
I'll bet he has no interest. Not that he's going to have a say, but I'll bet he would love to stay put.
I guarantee he'd love to stay put, because I think if he stays on SmackDown, I think there is a pretty good chance that he could have a world championship run later this year. I don't feel the same if it's over on Raw. I don't see him beating Brock Lesnar, and I don't see him beating Roman Reigns. So, but I think with that act and the way that they have it right now, I would not be surprised if The Miz and Maurice were on the red brand.
Now, you mentioned Finn Balor going over, and I agree that could happen, but a guy I see almost in a similar spot as far as, all right, there's really nothing going on from a storyline standpoint. He could easily be moved as the guy he teamed with last week. What about Seth Rollins?
Well, I think Rollins and Joe are going to feud. So to me, you keep them on Raw. You keep those two there. You keep Owens against Jericho for a little longer, so they stay put. That's why I say I think Finn is kind of the guy that's kind of the odd man out when it comes to that grouping, unless they're going to say Jericho is done, with the injury, and then he's going up and do Fozzy stuff. I don't think that's the case yet. So... I think Finn would be the guy that I would look at more. I mean, Seth would make a lot of sense, but, I mean, they just started Seth and Joe. They started, but they didn't. I mean, they've had interaction, but it would just feel like it was, unfinished business that they actually moved Seth at this point. But, hey, they've done stuff like that before.
And they have a storyline out if they want to. I mean, because Stephanie McMahon kind of out of the picture. If they want to move him to SmackDown, yeah, she's convalescing, but she made it clear to Kurt Angle, you get rid of Seth Rollins. I don't want him on my brand anymore, considering that, the part he played in her going through the table, but also just the fact that he beat her husband. So there's a way they can do that if they want to.
But if they did something like that, though, wouldn't AJ almost have to be a babyface over on Raw?
Yeah, and I don't know what the future holds for him in that regard. I mean, that speech he gave last week, like I said, could be a setup for him just being a bigger heel than ever, but it could also be they're not going to fight it anymore. They see there's money in AJ as a babyface, the people like him, and you could bring him in, you could either bring him into Raw as a babyface, you could keep him on SmackDown, and he is that face of that brand. What do you think of the idea, though, of him, one way of keeping him and Nakamura apart as far as a match is concerned is, well, you keep them apart a little bit to begin with, and then they eventually start teaming together, and then something happens, just conveniently timed for ideally WrestleMania rather than SummerSlam. I know people are going to be anxious to see that, but, just be patient, folks. And something happens where, yeah, the split occurs, and they're feuding over the WWE Championship at WrestleMania next year.
I could see, to me, the two matches I'd look for Nakamura between SummerSlam and WrestleMania next year, and I don't know which one goes where, is Nakamura against Styles at one of them and Nakamura versus Cena on the other. But obviously that means JJ would not have to be moved. So that's a big question. I mean, if we're looking at it in the same way that we are, then maybe I'm dead wrong and AJ stays put. And those would be two huge matches right there, when it comes to Shinsuke and those events.
I actually hope AJ stays put. I mean, they need guys that can carry good quality matches like AJ can on the Raw side, certainly. He eats up a lot of minutes in a very entertaining way, no doubt about it. And there'd be some fresh matchups over there, but I he is such a big part of the SmackDown identity. Not that there's tremendous identity between the two brands, but all of a sudden you move him over, and yeah, you're still going to have some of the mainstays, but he's just become, if there is such a thing, part of the fabric of SmackDown since the brand split. To me, I kind of like keeping some major players in place so that it does feel like, okay, it matters that, you know, there's Raw brand, there's SmackDown brand. You start just moving top guys all over, and I think you lose that quickly.
Well, don't you have to at least move, like, one top guy from each brand?
Sure.
Or else this doesn't feel like it's anything big. It's like, what a superstar shakeup. Well, who's a major player that actually got moved? You know, so that's another factor that goes into it. I mean, I think Charlotte is a major player. I think I look at Alexa Bliss as being a major player because she's been a longtime champion on SmackDown. But, you know, who's the major guys from the men?
If you're SmackDown, do you trade Undertaker for, you know, a player to be named later? Kind of. I mean, my God, the guy may be retired. I don't think he officially is, and that's why they're leaving the door open, hoping he can return one more time. But for that matter, he made all of his appearances recently on Raw anyway. What do you need him for?
Let me ask you this. Here comes a Taker in the whole retirement thing, because I know he hasn't said it, but wouldn't that look kind of foolish if he actually did come back for one more match? And I understand that there's money involved and whatnot, but after everything that they did at WrestleMania at the end of that match, and not only having him lose on that stage again, but then leaving the hat and the gloves and having him go down through the ramp, to me, it would feel kind of silly if he came back for another match.
Give it time. You know, right now, yeah, I'd be like, wow, he's already coming back, but give it time. I think that people would welcome it for the most part. There may be some grumbling. There's always going to be somebody grumbling about something. But I think you give it, if it were next year, yeah, there are going to be people saying, oh, man, again. But I talked about this with Zach and Dynamite Weekly. You know, we were kind of like, well, God, my God, what do you do to top that from a production standpoint? They gave him that amazing send-off. And I kind of came down to, let's say it's Cena Taker. It's a singles match between the two. No matter who wins, no matter who loses, rather than do the big elaborate production, WrestleMania goes off the air with Cena raising Taker's hand, leaving the ring, and there's Taker standing in the ring. And that, you know, it's like you're getting the feel-good send-off moment right there. I think people would accept it, whether it's he's coming back to face Cena or there's such a threat, a Braun Strowman's running wild, whatever the case would be that, my God, who can stop this man? It's the mighty Undertaker. I think people would welcome it by the time it would happen.
But haven't we got to the point now that if we need somebody to stop a mighty, somebody that's out of control, that person is Roman Reigns?
It is, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, if they want to bring him back, they will.
They will.
There's got to be a reason they're leaving the door open. You know, because if he was done, I think they would say he's done.
Yeah, well, I also think it's kind of in the vein of the Undertaker character and the person that plays it, you know, in that he's always been very quiet about everything. He doesn't give too much away, and I think it's going to stay that way. Like, even next year, I mean, it makes a lot of sense that if he isn't that retired, that you could put Undertaker at the Hall of Fame, especially being in New Orleans where he lost for the first time at WrestleMania. But I just have the sense that they're going to wait a while before they put Taker in the Hall of Fame, and I don't know if that means, you know, 2 years, 5 years. Whatever it might be, but I just think that maybe he's like, hey, you know what? I want to have a break. I want to have some separation from this before people actually see the man behind the character, because he's been so protective of the character for so long.
My guess is he doesn't know what his next move is going to be. You know, he's
probably
having major hip surgery replacement even, and I wonder if that's why they left it open. Like, he's open to doing more. They got to see how this goes. You know, this could have been it. And if it is, you write him out. But, I mean, I'm joking about trading him for nothing, but I doubt he even comes up tonight. But kind of moving back to the shakeup, as they're calling it, the superstar shakeup, will any champions be moved?
No, I don't think so.
What about Intercontinental for U.S.? I can't see, like, all right, he's taking the blue belt with him over, you know, that kind of a thing. But I could, or, you know, the blue tag titles aren't going to move to Raw, I don't think. I think they want those color-coded. They did it for a reason. But those are the ones where, if you wanted to, you could.
You could, but then you'd be moving Kevin Owens over, who's still involved with some of Jericho. Yeah, and you'd be moving Dean over, who's in the middle of a feud right now with Baron Corbin.
And you could bring Baron right along with him if you wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, they could do it. It's not impossible. You know, I almost wonder if they're going to have, like, a tumbler, and they're just going to, all right, let's just spin it around.
God.
Here comes the shakeup. That's why we're calling it a shakeup. Hey, we pulled a name, and guess what? You're going to the other brand, you know?
Oh, I hope not. I mean, I like that this one seems to have logic. I never liked the lottery.
Yeah.
It was just so, well, what happens if you trade every good guy from Raw for every bad guy from SmackDown? I mean, I never, it's just, I want a little bit of logic here. We all know what
Can
it
we
is.
Get,
but
I want to get, like, a NFL War Room coverage. You know, there's, like, a camera in this corner. Like, you can't hear them, but you can see them, and there's papers everywhere and computers, and somebody's running around, and people are on the phone, and whatnot, and there's like a draft board somewhere hanging around, and people are trying to figure it out, you know. And yeah, I think that would be pretty cool.
Only if Kurt is like has his son next to him, and then some other, you know, high ranking executive on the other side, and he just smiles and all handshakes after every pick, like Jerry Jones and the Cowboys were.
Awkward high fives, you know, where people are kind of missing. They're like, yeah, you know, and you're kind of missing each other, and people are super excited. And, you know, yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, day three of the draft, and the Cowboys just every time act like they just get to steal the draft.
Right. Or I have this feeling that, like, okay, there's a big conference room, allegedly, and they come out of there like, I got to go back into the room. You know, we're in the middle of tense negotiations right now, you know, and the guy comes out shaking his head, or there's an awkward smile or whatever. Okay, we finally worked this out.
What's your long shot? You have a long shot for a big name that maybe we haven't mentioned yet that you could see going? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot with this one.
Well, I mean, I said Sasha Banks earlier. I mean, that name has been out there a little bit. I don't know how that fits. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Not that she's like, she's kind of has something going with Bayley. It's a story that they told via Charlotte where, I think that helps, too. Moving Charlotte over frees up the top heel spot. And maybe it becomes Nia briefly, but once this story is told, if there is one with Sasha and Bayley, Sasha's a heel. She's so much better as a heel than she is a babyface. Even when she's a babyface, she has a heelish edge to her. I like that. And Alexa coming over, if that's what they intend to do, Alexa's a great character. Alexa still has some work to do in the ring, Brian.
Yeah, she does. You know, if they did a move like that, would they move Sasha? I mean, would they have to move Becky Lynch as well?
I would hope not. I mean, that's kind of the appeal for me of Charlotte going over there, is knowing we're going to eventually see Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
To me, that would be the setup, because eventually you get Charlotte against Becky, and you're going to get Sasha against Bayley on the other brand. To me, and that's the way it should be parsed out.
Oh, one other one for you. Do they use this to split up Sheamus and Cesaro?
Ooh, I would hope not, because they've got some momentum with that team, especially following Raw last week. They could, but I don't think the timing is right. I'd like to see them get some more time together.
They may have tipped their hand on that one. I mean, there's nothing, they can do whatever the hell they want, but the fact that they became number one contenders would seem to indicate that they're staying put.
Well, also, like, if they're going to be part of a, you know, part of the shakeup or whatever, doesn't it have to be, well, they can do whatever they want, like you said. It would feel like, though, if they moved, they would have to be moved as a tag team, because that's the way they're classified right now, but, like you said, anything can happen.
One other thing, do we get any broadcast team members moving brands? They like to do weird things like that occasionally.
I wouldn't be surprised by that one. I mean, couldn't you see Byron Saxton moved?
I want to see Byron straight up for David Otunga. What a shocker that would be.
And you know what? I would not be surprised at all if something like that happened.
Would anyone notice?
I would notice.
Otunga's improved, and Byron has a nice smile. I guess you'd notice when they showed, you know, where's the guy with the nice smile when they showed the broadcast team on Raw?
Well, both David and Byron have nice smiles. I'm still just not a big
fan. Nobody has a
fan.
Smile like Byron. Come on. David O'Connor may have
true.
A nice smile. It's no Byron smile.
Byron Saxton does light up a room. What can I say?
I do. I mean, with all this JBL is a bully, is or isn't a bully, whatever the case may be, does he play some part in this today? You know, or I don't know that they're going to bring up Morrow. They haven't brought him up in some time, but do they get those two apart somehow?
Well, that would only be if Morrow was still a part of the company going forward. I don't think he is. I don't think Morrow's coming back, unfortunately. So if they did something and put JBL on Raw, or I don't know, could they do something where JBL is just not on SmackDown and is like part of the pre-shows or something? I mean, I don't know how that would work.
Really, the only thing left is the kickoff shows for the pay-per-view. They don't even have a pre-show anymore.
Yeah, it would be kind of clumsy if they did something like that. I have a feeling that JBL is not going to go anywhere just because WWE is trying to ride out this situation, and that they moved him or they do something with him, everybody's going to read into that, and it's just going to give, you know, put more fuel on speculation of what's going on there. So I think they're going to keep that situation quiet.
Can you imagine 3 hours of JBL again on Mondays anyway? Oh, my God.
Ooh.
I couldn't take it. I guess another one that's been up for speculation again, the Cruiserweights. Any chance there's some big trade that moves the Cruiserweights to Tuesday nights? Not just for 205 Live, but on the SmackDown brand.
No, I don't think so. It's simply because Raw's 3 hours. I mean, they love having those Cruiserweights come out there so that ring crew can show how good they are and tape the ropes purple, you know, and fill up some of that time.
You've seen it. That's quite the impressive thing. I've seen it in person, too. It's like, damn, they got this down to a science. Like, just when you think, oh, man, they're getting right to the top of the show here. This video is ending. What's this guy doing in the ring? He's just casually leaving. Like, he knows. He's just doing final touches. And, I mean, it's just an art form the way these guys do it. It's impressive.
It's crazy, man. I mean, even when they do the setups for, like, when they do, like a Jericho segment, you know, when he's doing his show, or even The Miz, and watch these guys move furniture in and put the carpet down in the ring and, you know, put a TV out there, put whatever prop. I mean, it's amazing.
Hey, JR's back under contract for 2 years, and I bring that up just to jump back to the broadcast team. Now, he's obviously going to be doing his access duties, he said, and I don't think he's back on a full-time basis, but there's been a lot of speculation that Michael Cole intends to wrap things up, you know, and then at some point here and become more of a producer as he does for NXT, and I think he probably does some on Tuesday nights as well. If Morrow was around, I would honestly be wondering, are they going to move Tom Phillips over to Raw and eventually, you know, become the guy who replaces Michael Cole? And I guess with JR back in the fold, regardless of where Morrow is, I mean, it's a move they could potentially make if they wanted to, if they're ready to move Cole into that role.
They could, but I don't see Michael moving off of that yet. You know, on top of that, I don't think they want to put JR on either Raw or SmackDown unless it's like a real special event for like one night. I think they're trying to go younger in that situation and just have, you know, the talent that they've been using out there lately. I mean, I'd still love to see JR out there, but I think at this point they don't want JR to travel that much, and they've already kind of moved down from JR. It kind of opens up another can of worms. If you put him back in that role, then it's going to be how long does he stay there, and, you know, when he leaves it the next time, are people going to be upset again? You've already moved past that point, so, you know, they're going to use Tom Phillips. You know, they've got Michael Cole there right now. I'm sure there's other talents that they're looking at to groom, and we got to figure out what's going on with Morrow.
You know, and as much as I want Rusev to move and actually become a real heel monster again instead of the comedy guy that he is, I don't think, you know, we may get that, but it's going to be Rusev on Raw because that's where the American hero is, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean,
Kurt trades himself to SmackDown.
Good. Would they? I know they just did the mixed tag match at Mania, but would they want to revisit something like that again, where it's Rusev and Lana against Miz and Maurice?
If they're going to turn Rusev babyface, I guess you could.
Yeah,
I
got a feeling they probably want to stay away from the mixed tag thing for a little while just because they just did it. But I don't know.
At the end of this, when all is said and done, do you think SmackDown or Raw is going to look better? Or what are we going to be talking about? Last time it was, hey, man, SmackDown got the shaft and things turned out all right. But what do you think about this time?
Oh, it's going to happen again. I mean, I think we have to look at history. I mean, I think something like that's going to happen again. I mean, I could see a scenario where AJ Styles got moved to Raw, and it wasn't like Finn Balor or Seth Rollins got moved back. It was like, you know, it was like a tag team and, you know, Sami Zayn or something like that. I mean, I think when it's all said and done, we're going to be once again be looking at it going, well, they're loading up Raw again.
Okay, really, 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 this time the final question. When all is said and done, are the Shield on the same brand?
No.
I'm thinking I would keep them apart too, but I think I would get Dean Ambrose over there with the idea that it doesn't have to happen immediately, but we're going to turn him heel this year.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice. I mean, they got to do something different with him right now. He's kind of not lost in the shuffle necessarily, but he definitely has been, you know, not in the spot I think we all thought he would be at this point.
Day one with Brian Fritz is in the books. You can follow him online at Brian Fritz, Brian with an I-A-N, not the Y, Brian. Brian, you don't spell it the way my brother does, B-R-I-A-N, Fritz. And anything else you want to plug before we wrap this up?
If everybody wants to subscribe to the Between the Ropes podcast, they can. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, and all the other fancy platforms that are out there. And like you said, just follow me on Twitter. It's at Brian Fritz.
There we go. And, yeah, I'm happy you mentioned Stitcher. I always forget. We are on Stitcher. I didn't know we weren't there, but we're there now. So if you're hearing this somewhere else, go, man, Stitcher would be easier for me. Now you can. And while you're there, make sure you take care of downloading the Between the Ropes podcast as well. Brian, we'll do this again tomorrow.
That sounds good. And, by the way, I'm going to be in a great mood, especially if the Cubs win tonight. But at Wrigley Field coming up tonight at the same time as the Superstar Shakeup. They're raising the championship banner, the first one in 108 years in Wrigley.
Enjoy it while you can. My 5-1 Twins are... never mind. I'm not even going to go there. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. .NET members, you can look forward to my exclusive audio review of WWE Raw coming up after the show tonight. And, of course, I'll be by on Tuesday as well with my full review of WWE SmackDown. Just a quick note that... you know, that sale might still be open. You might be able to sneak in a deal if you're looking for 2 months of .NET membership for just $2. It was a WrestleMania week sale. I extended it because Zach Zimmerman kicked some serious behind in the .NET Weekly audio show. Over 2 hours of Zach talking about his WrestleMania weekend and Evolve shows, WWN Super shows, of course, WrestleMania. He was everywhere. It was insane the number of places he went, and it was just a really good look at the independent scene. So I kept that open, and you can still steal a deal. $2 for 1 month of membership. Visit the main page of ProWrestling.net for more details. I'll bump that up one more time for you guys. And then, of course, Brian and I will be right back here tomorrow. Until next time, everybody, take care.